We'll start in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Before we get to everyone's favorite part, I know that you guys all came here for one reason, to get the blessing of the water and to get yourselves anointed. But before we do that, we're not going to let this opportune time go without giving you guys a little bit of a sermon. Okay, so I know that you all want to get to the exciting part, and I know this is the favorite part where people come and they shove their bottles up, and everyone likes to come and grab and get a little bit of the water, and this is one of my favorite times when I was a kid to watch the people trying to get the water, and I used to be the little deacon guy who used to have to go put it up there. So the thing is that when you look at the Lenten and the water liturgy and how much we love it, and how much it's one of our favorite things, I suspect even that there's probably more people here right now that are going to be here during communion. I suspect some people even come just for the Lenten and probably leave even before communion. That when you look at that and you see how much people love this water liturgy and the blessing of the water, you realize when I was looking at today's readings that this isn't actually anything new. That the idea of people running to try to get some water was something that we saw even from the oldest times and even from the very, very first Epiphany, when our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized in the Jordan River, that we saw kind of the same thing. I'm going to read to you just a piece of the gospel which we just read a little bit ago during the Lenten here, which should be up there on your screen, which came from Matthew chapter 3. It said, starting in verse 5 there, it said, "Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." What you see is that the very, very beginning, that's how this whole Lenten thing started, and people coming and bringing up their water, was back in the olden days, a lot of people used to flock out to St. John the Baptist, who was out in the middle of nowhere, and they went out to see him. How many people? A whole city? More than a whole city, even more than Jerusalem. A whole county? More than Fairfax County? Judea was like the county around. Not even just Jerusalem and Judea, but all the surrounding region around the area. The entire D.C. metropolitan area, what they used to say, would come out to see St. John the Baptist. They would come, they'd hear him preach, they would confess their sins, and then they would be baptized. And you know how baptisms are. Baptisms are a nice experience, and I can only imagine that the feeling there was a very, especially after someone had been baptized, very joyous and hugging and a baptism certificate and things like that. And it was probably a very joyous occasion. But there is some exceptions, because it wasn't just people coming and ending up happy. A lot of people, like I said, came to St. John the Baptist, including what we read about in the next verse, starting in verse 7. It says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?'" You see, not only did tax collectors and sinners and repentant people come for the baptism, but what you see also is there was a large number of Pharisees and Sadducees. And another way of saying those guys is hypocrites. And the people that our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, didn't like very much. And we also see that St. John the Baptist didn't like them very much either. Well, here's a question I want to ask you. We're quick to jump on the Pharisees and say they're bad people. And say that they, you know, didn't really know God. And they didn't really have hearts that wanted to get to know God. Well, if you look in what we just read just now, see what it says again. Before you jump on them, it says, "When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism." Coming to his baptism. If you saw many of, let's say, we'll take the worst people outside right now. Let's say atheists, or let's say, you know, people who don't believe, or people who believe all kinds of bad stuff. And many of them came to be baptized and to confess their sins. You'd say, this is a good thing, right? You think he'd open up his arms and hug them and give them a gift or something like that, and he'd treat them with some dignity, with some class. But he doesn't. He calls them a brood of vipers, which is a pretty bad insult if you think about it, if someone called you a brood of vipers. My question I want to ask you, and I want all of us to think about, is why was he so rough with them? Why was he so harsh on these people? They came to be baptized. They didn't come. I would understand if they came to like make fun of him or they came to criticize, but that's not what happened. They came to his baptism. They came to be baptized and do just like everyone else did. In order to understand the answer to this question, we have to realize that when they came, they did come to be baptized and they did come and confess. But what our Lord was looking for, what St. John the Baptist was looking for, but also what our Lord is looking for in us, is much more than confession. You see, these people came, these Pharisees and Sadducees, and they kind of came along, they were kind of going with the flow. All right. They saw what everyone else was doing on the outside. Everyone else was coming. They came. That guy said his sins. I say my sins. We all kind of say our sins. They were doing the same thing on the outside as everyone else. But what I'm trying to tell you, what St. John the Baptist is trying to say to them is, he didn't want just the outside. What our Lord Jesus Christ is looking for in us is more than just outside stuff. He's looking for an inside thing, and too often we confuse the two. What I'm talking about here is the difference between confession and repentance. All right? Sometimes we confuse the two. I think that there's many of us who have confessed, but maybe haven't quite learned how to repent. And sometimes we get the two confused. Confession is the outside thing, and it is necessary, and it is important, and it is vital. But if you're only doing confession, and you don't have the repentance before it, you're like these Pharisees, because that's exactly what they were doing. All right, they were doing the outside thing, but not the inside. Let's look at these Pharisees, okay? Because every time I look at the Pharisees, I always get worried. Because if there's one group of people that resembles, if there's one group of people in the 21st century that resembles the Pharisees of the first century, I would say it's the Copts. It's the Copts. Because we have a lot of stuff just like them. And we are very, very, very in a state of danger of becoming like them. Because, you know, one of the things that makes us so proud as Coptic Orthodox is we fast every Wednesday and Friday. Guess who else fasts every Wednesday and Friday? What makes us so happy is we do lots of matanyas. Guess who else did lots of matanyas? We have prayers throughout the day. Hey, guess who else had prayers throughout the day? Guess who else had rituals? Guess who else had to come to church on Wednesday night from 7 o'clock till midnight and spend hour upon hour upon hour upon hour fulfilling these law things? So when you look at it, there's kind of scary that we could easily walk that line and end up on the wrong side of that. I think if there were Pharisees alive today and they were show up in the church here today, I think every one of us, it'd be like the most popular person in the church. Every one of us would go and would praise them and would ask them to outreach our kids and tell them about our problems, may ordain them as a priest before the end of the week or something like that. These would be like the greatest people in modern, in kind of our church because they do all the things right on the outside. But what St. John the Baptist teaches us today is that what God is looking for is not an outside thing. It's an inside thing. And we too often are too focused on the outside. But as we celebrate Epiphany and we come to this water, well, let's go back and try to do things the right way and see how St. John the Baptist would have wanted us to come to the water with more than just confession, but with repentance. Okay? Inside repentance, true repentance, focuses on the inside. Well, like I said, confession is more of an outside thing. The reason that repentance has to start inside, not outside, is because repentance is the solution for sin. And your sin begins on the inside, not the outside. If all you're doing is confessing, all right, then all you're doing is treating the symptoms, but you're not going to the root. The root of the problem is on the inside, and that's why we need to start with repentance. Let me explain to you what I mean right now. I told you that St. John the Baptist, we just read, called the people brood of vipers. And what he said to them literally is he said, brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He's saying, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He's questioning their motives of why you came here tonight is what he's saying. Why did you come to me? You brood of vipers, why did you come out to the desert to be baptized? Who warned you about the impending doom? Why is it that you're here? Are you really seeking to repent? Or you're just kind of doing what everyone else is doing? Or you're just coming because your mom told you to come? Or because your neighbor told you to come? Or because you think that you're supposed to come? He's going to the heart of the matter. He's going to the inside and saying, what is it that motivated you to come here tonight? And what you see is that our Lord Jesus Christ, even though, or St. John the Baptist, who also represent in God in this same context here, is never happy if you do all the right things in the whole wide world, but you're doing it for the wrong reason. He's never happy. He's never happy if you confess every single day for the rest of your life and never once repented. If all you do is on the outside stuff, but you've never done the inside, that never does him any good and that never makes him satisfied in any way. And when he calls them brood of vipers, an image comes to their mind, okay, which is important that we kind of understand. Anyone who knows anything maybe about farming or planting trees and stuff like that may understand this. Back in the day, let's say you had a field and you were planting something that snakes would ruin. So let's say I'll just invent something here. You're planting corn, all right? You're planting all kinds of corn stuff. And let's say that snakes would come in and they'd eat up your corn. So you wanted to get rid of the corn. So what they would do in order to get rid of the snakes, it's hard to catch snakes and they slither and they hide. If you wanted to get rid of something like this, they didn't have pesticide at the time. What they would do is they'd wait till everything was just kind of dry and they'd start a fire. They'd start a brush fire. And the fire would start to burn. And what do you think the snake would do when he felt the fire behind him? The snake would leave. Okay, and the snake would keep on going until the fire stopped. So the snake would just keep on moving, and then stop when the fire stopped. But then as soon as the fire was off his tail, the snake went back to doing whatever snakes do, eating whatever was there or making problems over there, whatever. Why did the snake go back to his ordinary life? Because if you look at it from this repentance aspect, the snake never really repented. All the snake did was got scared of getting burned by the fire. And I think this is a very good analogy for many of us when it comes to our confession and repentance. Person comes, had a car accident, near life-changing or life-ending experience, or they got a bad dream where they felt God was telling them to change, or they're getting lonely in life, so they said, you know what, let me come back to God, give God a try. All these experiences would cause someone to come and confess, okay, in their mind repent, but just come and just kind of say their bad stuff and hope things end up getting better. That's why someone can come and cry and be, you know, emotionally moved and this and that. And then the next thing you know, a couple weeks later, they're back to life as the way it used to be. Why? Because there was no repentance. There was just, see, the difference between repentance and confession. Confession, like I said, is outside focus. That's what a lot of us do. We just want the bad stuff to stop. So we come and we think it's repentance, but really we're not sad over our sin. We're just sad because we got caught in our sin. Or we're sad because of the consequences of our sin. Because the sin led to my family hates me, or I ruined my reputation, or I lost my job. That's not repentance. All right? What that is, that's, like I said, just trying to save yourself and not get burned. That's what I would call, or the Bible would call, like a remorse. But that's much different, like I said, than repentance. Repentance is not mourning the consequences of my sin. The repentance is mourning how my sin affects my relationship with God. Knowing that my sin, that even the littlest sin, affects my relationship with God and hurts my relationship with God and puts a distance in my relationship with God. And my little itsy bitsy little sin is a grand offense to the holiness and the purity of God Almighty. That's what repentance is. It's not hating the consequences. It's not wishing that I didn't get caught. Repentance is hating the sin which is inside me. Okay? A person, let me try to give you an example of a person who repents versus a person who confesses. You can confess that you got angry with your wife a million times. You can confess that you have lustful thoughts or angry thoughts or judgmental thoughts a million and one times. And you could say, I hate the way this ends up ending my or hurts my life or this and that. That's confession. Repentance is when you hate the sin so much that you say, I hate losing my temper, that anything which causes me, that may cause me to lose my temper, I even hate that. That anything which may lead me to a lustful thought or a judgmental thought, that's where I want to try to stop it. And I hate it so much because of the way it affects my relationship with God. I know what I'm saying is kind of abstract, but let me try to make it more clear here for you, all right? The first step that everyone needs to do in order to repent, not confess, but to repent, okay? The first step is true repentance has to start with realizing my own sinfulness, all right? Every one of us needs to realize that inside of us, we got bad stuff. And that's exactly what we were talking about this year and New Year's with the whole goal of the year, that every day we would examine ourselves to try to find that bad stuff and see what it is and try to root it out. The thing is, one time we were at one of these clergy seminars and His Holiness Pope Shenouda was talking. And he was telling a story. I guess, you know how when you see a pope or a bishop, the thing that you say is, Achteit halilni. Okay? Say, I have sinned, absolve me. And you go and you make matanya, Pope comes out of the limo, you make matanya, and you say, I have sinned, absolve me. I have sinned, absolve me. Well, the Pope was telling a story, and I guess he got to the point where, for some reason, he wanted to ask he didn't say if it was a priest or bishop or a layman or whatever. I think it was a priest, it was someone in the clergy. He asked them, you said that you sinned. What's your sin? So the priest said, you know, Sayyid and I have done every sin that there is. I said, okay. Tell me a couple of them. He said, you know, I'm a very, very bad man. I said, I know you're a bad man. You already told me that. Tell me one or two or three of your sins. You said, I've sinned, absolve me. What do you want absolution for? I'm scared that a lot of us, if we start to think about when we prepare for confession or when we start to think about, yes, I'm a sinful person, that's what we'd say. I've done every sin under the book. I've done every sin known to man. I'm a sinful person. I have sinful thoughts, sinful deeds. Everything about me is sinful. That's not repentance, okay? That's not repentance at all. Repentance is, do you know that you're sinful? And if so, where? That's the whole idea of, like I said, this daily self-examination. It's trying to find where the roots of the sin are, and every single day, checking myself out. If you think, or if you do this to yourself and you think, well, I don't have any sins. I didn't do any sins today. Again, there was another group of people who said the same thing, and they were the Pharisees. And if you'd asked them about their sins, they'd have said, you know, I'm okay. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect like God, but I'm pretty much okay. It scares me how similar sometimes we behave towards those with those Pharisees. If you are really certain that you did nothing to hurt God today and that you did everything to please God today, and you're so certain about it, let me warn you that the Pharisees were quite certain about the same thing. They were quite certain that because they were children of Abraham, because God promised them many blessings throughout the Bible, and God said, this is a special people to me, that that would be enough and they would be okay on the judgment day. Well, hey, I know another group of people who God promised a lot of blessings. And last Sunday, Bunim Shoy was talking about it in the Arabic sermon, about how a group of people who the Bible said that blessed is my people, Egypt. All right? He said, blessed is this people. And he promised a lot of blessings to us as well. But if we're relying on that, and we're relying on the fact that I didn't do nothing wrong today, and we're relying on the fact that I don't see any sins going on in my life, I got bad news for you. The Pharisees were the exact same way, and it didn't get them into heaven. And if that's what you think, okay, that you got no sin, look what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, up there on your screen. It says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Anyone who ends the day and says, I didn't sin today, you make a liar out of the word of God. Why? Because every single page of the Bible says that you sinned today. You don't believe me? Look here at a few verses. Psalm 51 verse 5. King David says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Don't think that you were better than King David, that he was sinful and you weren't. Next verse, Isaiah 64, 6. But we all are like an unclean thing. All. Okay? All. Every one of us. Like an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are like filthy rags. All our righteousness. The best thing that you can present to God is still filthy compared to his purity. Next one, Romans 3, 23. As bluntly and as simply as possible. No one can misinterpret this verse. That all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm telling you that if your hope of salvation and your hope of eternity rests on the fact that you fasted a lot, or that you attended church every year on Epiphany, or that you did the most matanyas, or that you memorized the Bible, or you did any of these things, and that's what your hope is resting on, you are in trouble. All right? You are in big trouble because the Bible says, like I said, the exact opposite. Don't believe me? Ask the Pharisees. Go ask them where their self-righteousness got them in the end. Didn't end up them in the right place. Repentance begins with realizing my own sin. Realizing that even if I did a million good things, as long as I've done one thing, okay, one small itsy bitsy little sin, then I need a Savior and I need salvation. Like I said, this is the reason why we do our self-examination. In the little self-examination packet, there was a little quote, all right, and it said, sin is part of our human nature, and just because we don't see it doesn't mean that it's not there. It just means you're not looking hard enough, all right? And I'm going to say the same thing to each one of us. If you get to your day, or you ask yourself, where was the sin in my life, and where was the area, and you don't see anything, I don't think that you didn't do anything. I just think the problem is that you're not looking hard enough, and that, my brothers and sisters, is what repentance is all about. That's what we come here to do right now. All right? That's what this sacrament, all right? That's what this ritual is all about. It's not about looking good on the outside. It's not about all the stuff we do on the outside. It's about checking ourselves, examining ourselves, see where I have fallen short of the glory of God, and repent of it. And hate the sin. And hate the sin because it's the sin that's in me and in you that makes a bad smell. And it's a sin in us that caused Christ to have to die and take three nails, or take nails and take whips and take a crown of thorns because of my sin and because of your sin. I'm telling you that if you want to know how the devil fights against good people, all right, and my definition of good people is people who come to church on a Wednesday night from 7 till midnight. How the devil fights against good people is that he tells you exactly that. He says that you are a good person and that you are much better than those outside people. And that as long as you stick with the main things, you know, don't break any of the Ten Commandments, go to church as much as you can, give when you can, fast when you can, do your egbeya, this and that. As long as you do those things, you will be good and you will end up being okay. I believe that repentance is something that every single one of us needs. And especially, like I said, if you're coming to the water, if you weren't coming to the water of baptism or water of the land here, then that's one thing. But anyone who's going to come to the water tonight, all right, anyone who's going to come to the water tonight, before we come, we're going to take a couple seconds here to think about my sinfulness and to realize my sinfulness and to repent of my sin. I don't want to be the brood of vipers, okay? But that's exactly what the Bible is saying, that anyone who's coming here tonight for anything other than repentance, like I said, I know a lot of people came, we're excited about the water, we want the buttercup, we want as much water, spray me two times with the boona with the water, I want to drink the water, I want to take home this much water. Okay, that's great. But if you're coming here for anything other than repentance, and you're coming here with a heart full of anything other than repentance, well then, I hate to say if a brood of vipers is the description of what St. John the Baptist would say if he was here. We don't just come here to make rituals, empty rituals that we just kind of do to pass the time. When we come here, we come to relive and go through exactly what the people in the Jordan went through. We come to the waters of the Jordan right here, and we will all be baptized, so to speak, with the water. But I hope that each one of us can have some time for repentance. So you ask yourself, why is it you're coming here tonight? You ask yourself, why do you want the water? You ask yourself, as we're about to line up right now and everyone's about to come down here, what is it that's in your heart and what is it that you're coming here for? God wants repentance from every single one of us. Here's the last thing I'll say. I know that when I say a message like this, that everyone needs to repent. There are three possible reactions that every single person here will fall into one of them. First, as people who will just flat out ignore it. All right, people who either slept the last 15 minutes, people who don't want to hear, people just going to ignore it and do absolutely nothing. Nothing I can do about you. Second group of people is people who will repent, but just a superficial repentance. The outside stuff. I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that, and I shouldn't have done that. That's the one that I really hope you don't fall into, because that's a very dangerous thing. Because that's the one where you're fooling yourself and you're playing games with yourself. I hope we all fall into the third category. Just the third category is that we take some time to reflect on our own sinfulness. And we realize that even if I don't see the sin, that doesn't mean that it's not there. That just means that I'm not looking hard enough. And remember, like we said on New Year's, we said our goal is to hit that planet, we're a spaceship that's like a million miles away. It only takes one fraction of a quarter of a half of a percentage of a degree that's off, and then the whole spaceship is going to end up in the wrong place. Epiphany. Okay, remember I said this to you guys last year, all right? Epiphany, there's three components to it. What happened to St. John the Baptist was three components. He preached, people repented, they were baptized. Part one, I promise, I'm done. I'm done the preaching. Part three, I promise, in 2 or 3 minutes, everyone's going to have all the water of La'an that you can possibly imagine. You can swim in it when you get home for all I care. But it's part two that I want everyone to focus on. So what I'm going to ask is those sound room people in the back, Jimmy and Andrew there, can maybe dim the lights a little bit. Why don't we all stand up for a little bit and let's take some time for repentance. Let's put ourselves in God's presence. And again, we're not here standing in the church just doing empty rituals. We are coming to the waters of the Jordan. And we're coming to repent of our sins. We're coming that our Lord Jesus Christ would remove the sins from inside us and would do like a heart transplant. And that all the bad stuff that's inside of us, that he would take it out and put in a new heart, a heart of flesh. Let's take 2 minutes of silence to put ourselves in God's presence and to repent of our sins. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, we know, dear Lord, that we are right now standing in your presence. And we know that even though we may have sinned many times in life, and even though we may have overlooked our sins 1,000 times, we know, dear Lord, that there are things inside of us, in each and every single one of us, that are sinful. And we thank you, dear Lord, that you gave us this reminder tonight, that you gave us a gentle reminder, that you didn't end our lives or end the world before you allowed us to get this one reminder. And who knows, it could be the last reminder. But each one of us tonight, dear Lord, comes with a heart of repentance. Not a heart seeking anything. Not a heart seeking to prove ourselves. Not a heart denying our sins. Not justifying, not making excuses, not blaming anyone. And most of all, not covering up our sins. We come to you tonight, dear Lord. We know that you are the discerner of souls and spirits. And there's nothing, dear Lord, inside of us that you don't see. We come to you with hearts of repentance. We confess our sins. We repent of our sins. And I really pray, dear Lord, that me and every single person who's standing here before you now would be able to make like a new start tonight, would be able to start fresh as we're at this beginning of this year and we're really focused on examining ourselves and really focused on repentance, dear Lord. You gave us this chance that we can come and be washed. I pray that this water, dear Lord, which all the prayers have been said over this water, would really be a washing of our souls. That as we pray so many times, dear Lord, that you would not only cleanse us, but that you would create inside of us a new heart. That you would renew your spirit inside of us, dear Lord. None of us want to live a life of sin. None of us want to be like the Pharisees, dear Lord. So we come to you tonight with hearts of repentance. Forgive us, dear Lord, for all of our sins. Have mercy on us and accept our prayers and accept the remainder of our time here tonight, dear Lord. And make us worthy that we can not only be washed of our sins, but that we can start a new life with you through the sacrament of communion and receive you inside of us in a new way. We thank you, dear Lord. We praise you. We glorify you. And we give unto you all the honor, all the glory, all the power, now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.